I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. I'm your host, Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal. We're going to do something a little bit different this week. We had a little bit of technical difficulties trying to record our normal Red Zone podcast, so we're going to kind of combine the weekly mailbag and the original Red Zone podcast for the week. So I'm going to take some of your questions that you sent me over the last couple days and answer them, and then we're going to have a little short segment with Derek Tindall from when I talked to him on Wednesday after that. So that's going to be our podcast for the week. I appreciate all the questions you guys have sent me. Let's go ahead and get right into it. Let's see. Lake Culling at Lake Man Tarzan asks, is the 2015 Alabama game the reason Wisconsin doesn't schedule tough out-of-conference opponents? Now, Lake is a good friend of mine. We were roommates in college at the University of Alabama, so this is a little tongue-in-cheek. I'm sure Wisconsin fans will probably get a little upset at that question, but... Obviously, as Wisconsin fans know, you know, this is – Wisconsin kind of got, you know, screwed over a little bit by BYU's incompetence this season. They scheduled a lot of good out-of-conference opponents. You know, outside of that Alabama game, they had LSU in 2014 and 2016. They have Notre Dame lined up for two straight games in 2021 and 2020. So and they asked some other ones coming up the pike too, you know. Obviously they're trying to schedule one really good out of conference game per year. Now they decided that big out of conference game for this year and next year was BYU, and you know, it's a team that's averaged, you know, about 9 wins a season for a long time now, and they came out and completely laid an egg this season, and I don't think many people really expected that or saw that coming. And so yeah, it's kind of hurt Wisconsin, except, you know, now that they're up at number 5 in the college football playoff poll, though, I don't think it's really a big deal at this point. I think if they go 13-0, they're almost certainly going to get in, and if they lose a game, then they're definitely not going to get in. And I think, you know, if it probably wouldn't change whether BYU was a little better than they are right now or if they weren't. I know that was a little. I know that question was a little bit of a. You know, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but from Lake, but thought I'd at least touch on it. Let's see. Ellie Brooks, at Ellie Brooks, asks, who do you think is our best NFL draft prospect currently eligible to go pro? That's a good question. You know, I think that obviously there are a few juniors out there that are eligible that we don't know whether they're going to go or not. It's hard to say who is going to be drafted. I don't think there's necessarily a first-round pick out there for the 2018 draft from Wisconsin. I think there's a couple guys that could go in the second, third-round range. You know, I think T.J. Edwards may end up being the guy ends up being still getting over this cold. Sorry about the coughing and everything. I'll try to edit out some of it, but I may not be able to get all of it. You know, I think T.J. Edwards is possibly going to be their top guy. I know a lot of NFL scouts like him at inside linebacker, and I think Nick Nelson might be the other guy. You know, I think he's a cornerback who, has really played well this season. Is really a lockdown guy in coverage, and I think NFL scouts like him a lot. And you know, I think both those guys will probably go pro after this year. You know, both of them are juniors. We'll have to see if they want to come back. But I think as of right now, you know, I'm not a scout or anything, and I haven't looked too deep into it at this point in the season. But I think those two could be two of the guys that are up there in day two. Ella Brooks also asks, what do you think has happened with Jazz Peavy? Do you have anything on what really happened? You know, I've touched on this a lot before. You know, just today, Paul Chris came out and said that George Rushing and Jazz Peavy are not with the team. And obviously, we knew that about Peavy, like you mentioned. But Rushing, I think it was kind of suspected, but he confirmed that today. And, you know, we talked about Peavy a lot in the past. You know, last month, Chris came out and said that, you know, Peavy was leaving the team for personal reasons. I've heard... that, you know, from what I've heard, though, they are legitimate personal reasons for PV leaving. I know there's a lot of rumors out there about, you know, him quitting the team or all this other stuff. And I don't think those are true. From everything I've heard, it seems like he's dealing with a legitimate personal matter. And you just have to hope that he's able to get through it. Let's see. Bill_Woj at Slow Creek asks, James Franklin frequently asks the Penn State fans for a wideout during big games. Why doesn't Paul Chris or Barry Alvarez reach out to the students via social media just to get them to show up to games on time? You know, there's a couple aspects about that question there, Bill. You know, obviously there's been an issue with getting the student section full by kickoff. You know, I think part of that, as we've said before, is the fact that they have a, from what I've heard from students, that there is a bad system on the way they let the students in. It's a very slow process, and so it takes a while to get everybody through. I think, you know, partly it's also on the students for not getting there early, a little earlier, knowing that system is going to be slow. I mean, I haven't been able to talk to Alvarez about that or anything. You know, I don't think Paul Chris would. As far as wideouts go and things like that, you know, I guess that's just not Wisconsin's style. It's not Paul Chris' style. It's not Barry Alvarez's style. I think they should do stuff like that. I think those kind of little promotional type things is, you know, I think those are the type of things that get your fan base a little bit more excited for a game, and it makes them. I think it makes your fan base feel like they really matter and feel like they can really make an effect in the game, and that may kind of get motivate fans to get there a little earlier and get in their seats. And you know, whether the student section, you know, process of getting in is slow or not, maybe you just get there a little earlier. And I know it's cold and it's not very pleasant, but yeah, I think stuff like that, doing a wide out or whatnot, could, you know, I would be in favor of that type of stuff. But it just doesn't seem like Christopher Alvarez, it just doesn't seem like their style. James Franklin's sort of a, you know, a different type of coach, I guess, than Christopher Alvarez were. Chris Burke at Chris_Burke asks, can we talk about the specialists on your special teams? I feel like they've all been solid contributors this year. Kicker, punters, kickoff specialists deserve some love, I feel. Yeah, I think you're right on most of that, Chris. You know, I think that Rafael Gagliardone has been really good this year. He's 10-12 on field goals, hasn't missed an extra point. I think after last year when Andrew Endicott struggled a little bit and Gagliardone was hurt, you know, I think that's a big difference this year. You don't have to, you know, worry about your kicker too much when he goes out there especially for a shorter field goal and for extra points. And you know, I think kickoff specialist has been really good. Obviously, Zach Hintz, you know, took over for the injured PJ Rosalski, and he kind of kept the job even though Rosalski's not injured anymore. You know, he's last time I checked a few weeks ago, he was up there at the top of the Big Ten and as far as touchback rate, so he's been really good. You know, they haven't got a ton out of the return game. Derek Tindall has looked like a little bit more of a threat the last couple weeks at kickoff return, and Nick Nelson has actually had a couple nice returns lately, so that seems to be getting a little bit better. That's something they've been trying to get for the last couple of years, and I think Nelson and Tindall are starting to look a little bit more of a threat in there. I guess the one I would disagree with is the punters. I they've had some good games. You know, this past game against Iowa, obviously Lottie had a couple really big, punts with the wind, 59 and 62 yards, and you know, he played really well in that game. But you know, Wisconsin's still 13th in the Big Ten in punting average, and while they've been pretty good about pinning teams inside the 20, I think some of those longer punts, you'd like to see a little bit more consistency there. But I do think the specialists overall have been really good this season. Let's see. Bill Woj has a couple more questions. Krumholtz looked good against Iowa. I think he's a better blocker than Taylor. In practices you have seen, can he catch the ball? Yeah, you know, I think he can. You know, we didn't see much of Krumholtz during fall and spring. We saw a little bit of him, but obviously when everybody was healthy, or most people were healthy, back in the spring and the fall, he didn't get a ton of those team reps. You know, he was kind of down there in the pecking order, you know, when PV was still around and rushing was still around before he suffered his injury, as well as obviously Cephas and things like that. And You know, I think the one time I got a good look at Krumholtz was during developmental practices last December. You know, they hold open practices in December that are just young guys. And, you know, Krumholtz is one of the guys back at last December that I kind of pointed out and said that I really thought he could be a good player. And at that point, he was a freshman walk-on. Not many had really heard of him outside of some of the locals who knew he went to Stoughton. So, yeah, I think I was pretty impressed with him then as far as his catching ability. And I think he can be, you know, a guy that catches passes for this team in the future. And obviously it's a young receiving core. And, you know, when Cephas Kitts comes back next year, it's going to be hard to, you know, hard for him to break into the regular rotation with, you know, with Cephas and Taylor and, you know, Pryor and Danny Davis all here for possibly two more years. But I do think he's going to make an impact here at that position. And Bill Walsh also asked, the Badgers have four young quarterbacks on the roster. Do you think Lyles might be a transfer candidate, and what do I think of Vandenboom? You know, I do think at some point Lyles could be a transfer candidate. Obviously, Jack Cohn ended up beating him out this year for the backup job, and, you know, they're both in the same class. They're both freshmen this year. Well, Lyles was a year ahead, but he redshirted. So if Cohn's able to stay ahead of him, then I think it's natural to think that, you know, if Lyles looks at the situation and thinks that he can never be a starter unless somebody gets injured, then you know, then I think at that point, you know, you definitely could consider that. I mean, I don't know what's, you know, some guys too just really like the university and have a lot of friends, you know, where they're at, and some guys in that situation just decide to stay put and hope for an opportunity and keep working, you know. But if he has a real desire to be a starting quarterback and he's not able to catch Cohn on the depth chart, then he absolutely, you know, could look into that as well. Vandenboom, I had not seen much of him. You know, for those who don't know, we're not allowed to watch practice during the season. So what I've seen of Vandenboom is just a couple weeks of fall camp. He looked like a definite work in progress over those couple weeks. It was, you know, his first couple practices for Wisconsin. He definitely didn't look like he was you know, ready to play by any means, clearly. But he definitely looked like he had a lot of work to do. But I think hopefully we get a little bit better sense of the progress he's made, possibly in December when we watch some of those developmental practices again, and he's out there getting more reps than he was in fall camp. Let's see, Chris Fern at ChrisFern112 asks, I know there have been brief discussions this week about potential underclassmen turning pro after this year and injured players requesting a waiver over going pro. Who of the underclassmen do you think will leave after this year? Touched on this a little bit earlier, but I didn't go through all the underclassmen that could turn pro. I mentioned TJ Edwards and Nick Nelson earlier. Those two, I think, I would guess both of those are going to go pro. I think Nelson's going to go, and Edwards, I think, is going to be a high enough pick where it makes sense for him to go. You know, Michael Dieter is another one, you know, a redshirt junior left tackle. He probably projects as an interior lineman at the next level, and there's not as many interior linemen drafted high in the NFL, but I think he could have an opportunity to be one of those day two guys or mid-round pick, and, you know, he may have to make a decision on whether he thinks that's right. You know, he actually talked about that. He was, you know, I asked him about that on Monday, whether he thinks this could be his last game at Camp Randall, with it being senior day, but him being a draft-eligible junior. And he said, you know, he knows there's a possibility of that, but he just hasn't thought about it yet, and he'll have to kind of, you know, cross that bridge when he gets there. So we'll have to see what he's thinking at the end of the year. That's probably up in the air for him right now. So, you know, the one other one I would say is probably David Edwards, and he's a redshirt sophomore, so he's 3 years out. So he would be eligible to leave if he wanted to. Now, you know, a few weeks ago I might have been leaning toward, you know, him leaving early, but I think the last few weeks he hasn't, you know, he's had a couple down games over the last few weeks, and I think you kind of look at him on the whole, and he's a really talented guy that's made a ton of progress from last year, and I think he is going to be an NFL player. But, you know, maybe he would benefit from having an extra year in college. You know, he's got, you know, he's only a redshirt sophomore, so he's got two more years he could play here. If I had to guess, I'd say he probably stays another year. If Dieter leaves, he'd probably switch to left tackle and play that spot. So we'll have to wait and see on him. you know, see how he finishes out the year. And again, I'm definitely no NFL scout. It's always hard to kind of project these guys. I think when the year starts to wind down, you know, you can start to look at some more projections and see exactly what some guys are thinking and things like that. But I guess those four guys are possibilities. I think, like I said earlier, Edwards and Nelson might be the most likely to leave, with Dieter also maybe a decent possibility as well. And you also mentioned you know, the Jack Sitchie is the other one, I guess, that I didn't touch on. You know, I don't, you know, he could petition the NCAA for a 6-year of eligibility. I don't think that would be likely to be granted. You know, I think that the rules state that you have to miss 2 full years due to injury, and although it was really unfortunate the timing of his injuries, he has only missed 1.5 years. You know, he wasn't able to get, you know, a medical redshirt or anything like that for last season when he missed half of the season, and then this year obviously tears his ACL in the preseason. So it's really unfortunate timing for him on that, you know, and maybe they could make an exception for his case. I'm not really sure. He could petition and make his case and to come back another year, but I would guess it's probably unlikely. I would probably expect Sitchie to go to the NFL after this year. Maybe it's not a certainty. Maybe he'll try to get that year back, but as of right now, I'd say you probably shouldn't count on him playing inside linebacker for Wisconsin next year. John Hermanson at John Hermanson asks, is this the biggest home game in the history of the program? Now, I haven't been around long enough to give a definitive answer on that. I'd have to say it's up there. I can't imagine there's been too many more home games where a playoff spot is on. Well, obviously the playoffs only been around a few years, but where a shot at the national championship really rests on a lot on this game. You know, obviously they'd still have to beat Minnesota and win the Big Ten championship game, but with them being only 3 wins from a playoff spot against a team like Michigan, who is ranked now and you know, certainly has the defense to stay in this game and to beat Wisconsin if they play well and Wisconsin's not on their game. So I think there's been a couple big games where, you know, a number one ranked team comes in here. You know, the Ohio State game a while back where Wisconsin knocked off top ranked Ohio State was a big one, but there just wasn't quite as much on the line for the Badgers as this game on Saturday. So I'd have to think it's up there. I'm sure there's a lot of home games that happened before I started covering the team a few years ago that were really big, and I'm sure there's, you know, other ones that could compare to this one, but it's got to be up there. Ben Kroll at Ben_Kroll20. Okay, you asked about PV and rushing, which we touched on earlier. You know, they're both not with the program right now. I would not expect them to be back. Let's see. John Hermanson also has another question. Thoughts on how the early kickoff impacts things? Students showing up late and weather might be sloppy seems like a bad combo for UW. You know, that could be the case. I'm sure Wisconsin would probably rather this game not be at 11. You know, I'm sure they would have loved this to be a night game to kind of get everybody hyped up for it. But you know, the last 3 weeks of the year, both teams have to agree to a night game, and Michigan never would have done that coming in here to Camp Randall. They never would have agreed to a night game if they had any say in it, which they do. So that wasn't going to happen. You know, you'd probably rather it be 2:30, but look, they played a lot of 11 a.m. games this year. They played in some sloppy weather games. You know, I think these teams are pretty similar in the fact that they win on their defense and running game. You know, I don't think the sloppy weather necessarily, you know, hurts one team over the other. You know, so I think it could definitely make things a little bit more random. You know, obviously it could, you know, a guy like Jonathan Taylor's got to be able to hold on to the ball, which he's had some issues with this year. Maybe a little bit more difficult to throw the ball, but we'll have to see how sloppy it actually is and if that affects any things. And of course we mentioned the students showing up late earlier in the podcast, so you got to hope that they just get up there early and Wisconsin's able to get them through the door quickly and they can fill that up a little quicker than they usually do. So we got a couple more questions from Todd Romance at Todd Romance. Without checking film for the entire season, I believe that every slant pass attempt that has either been completed or dropped. And in all cases, it's been wide open. Why don't we utilize it more often? You know, that's I tend to agree with Todd here. You know, I think that slant. I think once you're later in the game and you've had success running the ball and those linebackers, I think it depends on how the team's defending you. You know, I think in certain games this year, I'm trying to remember which ones. I think probably Illinois, Indiana. You know, teams that just have really sold out against the run have put, you know, nine or ten guys in the box when Wisconsin's in a one wide receiver set. And there's been some teams where right when Wisconsin snaps the ball, the linebacker's first step is toward the line of scrimmage, just to try to play the run the best they can. And in some of those games, Wisconsin did utilize a couple slant, slant passes to get behind the linebackers. And you know, I think they could use that a little bit more. I think they were typically doing that with Cephas when they were doing it. So which receiver kind of takes that over, I'm not really sure. I think they probably could utilize that a little bit more, possibly against certain teams, if defenses are playing them a certain way. But I don't know if it's been there every single time. There's also some times where I'm sure there's some times out there where the slant was the first read and it wasn't there, so the ball wasn't thrown there, and so you didn't realize that was what they were looking for either. So it's hard to say without going back and looking at the film on that. Todd Romance, this is the last question we have. Paul Chris is facing his toughest test with respect to rush defense. Will his run pass on 80% of offensive series work? Will his 95% run on first down in the red zone work? Will he finally begin using play action on first down? You know, here's the thing. Wisconsin is not going to completely change what they do. They are going to run a lot on first and second down. That's what they do. They want to get themselves in third and manageable. They're the number one team in the country this year in converting third downs at over 50%, and that's because they do get themselves in a lot of manageable third down situations. Obviously, you don't want to be too predictable, which I think is what Todd is saying here, is they're just too predictable on offense, and maybe at times they are. You know, I think Paul Chryst has been sprinkling in some play action on first down. The last couple of weeks, you know, it's still not much. You know, I think that you could probably, I think you're right, Todd, in the fact that you probably could do that a little bit more often. It kind of depends on how a defense is playing you as well. I think these things are always a little bit more complicated than they seem on the surface as far as play calling and how Chris is going to call a particular game against a particular defense. You definitely want to make sure you're not too predictable, especially against a defense as good as Michigan's, who was really good at stopping the run, like you mentioned. We'll have to see if he opens up the playbook a little bit more, does a little bit more of that play action. I think it's possible, but I don't think they're going to completely change who they are or what they're doing. I think they're going to run the ball a lot on first and second down and try to move the ball that way. And, you know, if you establish the run early and you're able to do that, then that does open up more play action possibilities for you in the future as well. Well, that's it. I really appreciate the questions, guys. We are going to get to our interview with Derek Tindall now.
Derek, with all the hoopla about the playoffs and everything, I almost forgot this was senior day this week. How special is it? Do you ever think back about the fact that your senior class is four straight 10-win seasons? The program's never done that before. Do you think about that at all, how successful this class has been?
I mean, I ain't never even like think of it like that, but you know, we got a lot of great guys in there who really bought into the program, and you know, it's, you feel me? I'm, now that you said, I'm pretty happy about that. You know, like, that just show you, like, people always, you know, Wisconsin can't do this, Wisconsin can't do that, man. But we consistently just stick to our grind, man. And that's what's so, you know, great to me about this team, like. All the naysayers, all the doubters, you know, who don't believe. We just always stick to ourselves and, like, man, let's play our game, let's have fun, bro. Like, and then, I just admire that about this team.
I know a lot of the seniors were recruited by Beal and the staff back in the day. How have you guys been able to remain so successful with so much change that has gone on in this program?
I mean, I was recruited by Anderson. But
a lot of the redshirt seniors, I guess.
Yeah, that was about good. But, I mean, through the little things, a couple of things I went through, but I was dealing with stuff like that since high school, you know, having in and out coaches, you know. But for me, it just was, I mean, I didn't really come here for a coach, or like, I came here because I loved the scenery, I love the program, and I love the team. So now if you trade all my teammates, then you might catch me out and cry or something, but right now it's just, you know, as long as I got my teammates with me, and we got a great coaching staff now, and you just got to be happy about that.
How much has Nutrell's speed helped your secondary this year? It seems like he can really cover a lot of ground out there.
Hey, man, you got that guy back there flying around, making plays, and I feel like it was a great move for him at safety, because he could cover like a corner, and just his the way he just covered ground for end to end, you know, like, because we play a lot of man, so, you know, you're not going to be perfect every rep, so sometimes you might need Trell to come over, and he does a good job at it, and he's been doing great, and he's going to continue to do great.
I hear he benches over 400 pounds.
Yeah,
can you believe that without, you know, his size and everything? That he
I mean, the size of his head, you would think he got, like, he could do something extra, so his head is so big. It helps him out, like, with leverage, you feel me? So his leverage be already back, so he'd be able to. But, nah, I was just saying.
I never thought about him having a big head. I never thought about him.
That thing huge. But, nah, he been, I mean, that's just amazing to me, you know, especially from a guy from Florida, because we don't lift weights in Florida.
So, really? He said his high school coach was really big on lifting weights.
Hey, man, my high school coaches wanted us to run around there, everybody, so. But, like, that's amazing, you know. Shoot, I only think I could get like 320, and he got 405. Like, that's and he played the same position I do. And I was like, man, that's amazing, you know. And it shows on the field. He's a lot stronger than a lot of people be trying to block him and the way he hit.
I saw a stat that he's played more snaps than any FBS safety hasn't missed a tackle. Yeah, I guess you've seen that too.
Yeah, he does a good job. Like I say, man, practice, practice, practice. That's all we do. We focus on tackling. We focus on all that kind of thing. He take it to another level. He always there to fill his gap, and, you know, he does a good job of using the coaching.
Do you feel like safety is sort of his most natural position?
Man, he was made to be a safety. Like, and I didn't notice it until the switch he had, and when he had that switch, it just showed me, like, man, this man was made to be a safety because his speed, you know, he got the speed, he hit. It's a perfect safety, you know.
Why'd it take so long for you guys to figure that out?
I don't know, man. It took a long time to put me at kick returner too, so
who knows. When are you gonna break one?
Hey, it's coming soon, you know. So you gotta keep trusting in the process. We're getting some of the blocking schemes down. I showed the coaches I had a little juice back there. And, you know, even last game I made a little juice out of what I can. I mean, we didn't get too far, but still did what I can, but just stick to it, and it's going to come. It's going to work soon.
Do you guys feel like you're 3 wins from the playoffs here? Is that kind of how you're thinking? I mean, I know you try to take a one game at a time, but, I mean, to get this close, it seems like it's maybe becoming a little more real in your head.
I mean, it's been real with me from the beginning of the season. You know, I made a statement early in the season that I think the team can win the championship. We just stick to our grind, and now we can't change nothing just because we just because we're number 5 in the country don't mean we change anything. We just got to stay dedicated, you know. Like I say, I always want to keep saying, one game at a time, man.
I know you took the Michigan and Ohio State losses last year tough because you gave up the touchdown in the fourth quarter. Are you excited to go out there and play this team again after that? Because I know you were really down after that Michigan game, and you know, you were playing with the hand injury and everything, but are you excited to go out there and play this team again?
I mean, I'm just excited because it's the next game, man. I'm not worried about what happened last year. Last year is last year, you know. If you look at this year, I played well, yeah, last year, but I'm a lot better player this year. You know, I feel like I'm a lot better with my technique. But as far as me being even more excited, nah, it's nothing to it. It's just another game. Just going to go out there and have fun, man.
All right, thanks, Derek.
No problem.
That's going to do it for this week. A big thanks to Derek Tindall for coming on the podcast. Apologies for not having a media interview this week. Again, had some technical difficulties, but I hope you enjoyed the mailbag and enjoyed the interview with Derek as well. Follow me on Twitter @Jason_Galloway. and join me for a live chat after Saturday's game against Michigan for some instant reaction to what you guys hope will be another Wisconsin victory that will make them 11-0 for the first time in school history. And keep visiting Madison.com for all your Badgers football news.